Welcome to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast, where we're building freedom-based businesses in the print-on-demand industry. Broadcasting to you from around the world, here are your hosts, Spencer and Shannon.
Oh man, I love it. I love
What's
it.
What's up, everybody? Merch Lifestyle Podcast 004.
welcome, everyone. Thanks for choosing to spend your Saturday with us here at Merch Lifestyle. Woo! This is Spencer. We're coming to you live.
And Shannon. And I just... What's up, Shannon from Cincinnati? Just living in Cincinnati temporarily, just here for a little bit till the merch account takes off. Let's see here. Minnesota. Ever hear of it? It's up in the north.
Oh, I haven't heard of Minnesota. I've heard of Minnesota.
Oh yeah, don't you know? You betcha. Hey. Ha ha. Go out on the boat. Go for it. Okay, where are you from, Spencer?
Well, I'm from down south in Mississippi, down in Muncie.
Well, ain't that special.
I'm born on the Air Force Base, my mom and my daddy.
You know what's funny? Biloxi, I was stationed there in 2000, or no, Gulfport, Mississippi. And okay. Yeah, real close. I wonder how far away that is. Anyway, cool, man.
So good. We got some fun numbers to share with everyone today. So,
yeah. What's the agenda? What are we doing
today? We're wrapping up 2017. It's the 16th. We've got some awesome results to share with you guys. Want to walk you through all the numbers, not just on merch, but all the other PODs we're on. We've got some 2018 goals to talk about. Next year is going to be a huge, huge year for both of us and hopefully you too. And we're also going to break down some different business models. So if you are looking to get into a business and you've got some money to blow, what business should you be in? Should you start a restaurant? Should you start a career? Should you go back to school and advance your career? Should you be in e-commerce? We break that all down for you and pick them apart. So Shannon's got a sweet slide deck. He's going to kick off for us right now.
Oh, yeah, baby. Here we go. Click. Here we go. Look at this. Boom. Merch Lifestyle episode 004. Let's do it. Let's dig right in.
Get into it.
Okay. My numbers for the month of December so far. Remember, today's only the 16th. So we're only, just over halfway through today so far. One sale. Oh, yeah. Woo! Killing it. Month of December so far, though, you can see we have 223 sales, royalties of $1,290, which seems low for December. But there's been a lot of things going on with merch in terms of throttling and removing shirts from the listings completely. Almost all of my bestsellers are not even in the search results right now.
That is crazy to me. And yeah. I didn't believe it before, but it's absolutely happening. And merch has confirmed it. And people can't find any of their top sellers on there. It doesn't matter if you've got 25 star reviews, it's just gone.
Right. It's very, very frustrating. And it's the main reason why my sales are so low for this month. It's crazy. I don't even know if I'll do, I don't even know if I'll have my best month this month, which is unbelievable on merch anyway. Now this, we have 1,455 designs live, but if they're not showing up in the search results, then it doesn't really matter how many you have live. So this is one reason why we advocate or talk about expanding your brand, working on your brand, because this next slide is going to show you what I've been doing on my personal website. And in growing my personal brand, I've been able to hit some pretty cool numbers. Today alone so far, and I just got a sale. I'm looking at my phone just 10 minutes ago, we got another sale. So this should be, and 40 minutes ago, so this should be, 9 This is over 300 for today alone.
Wow.
And you can see that today, or this month so far, we already have, we're just at about, well, $6,000 mark. We've had a couple returns, but yeah.
So when I think about your, and if we assume you've got a 25% profit margin, which your margin's probably higher than that, mm-hmm. that means you're at about $1,500. So you are now outpacing merch by Amazon with your personal brand. You've
correct.
Flipped it on its head this month.
Right. And what's beautiful is, all of my shirts are, like, since they're my shirts and my personal brand through T Launch, that's who we source through. You might source through Printful. There's a bunch of them out there, but I go through T Launch because they have great pricing. Their shipping is good. All this, they're very responding. They respond to all my messages very quickly. If I didn't have that, this would not exist. And all of my shirts are showing up in the shirt search results for on Amazon. Everything's showing up just fine the way it should. So that's pretty cool.
Do you mind if I ask what the rough breakdown is between, how are you driving that traffic to your site? Is it organic search? Is it Seller Central? Is it social media channels like Facebook or Pinterest?
Right. So most of our, our Shopify store has 9 different channels. One is Amazon Seller Central, mm-hmm. and we have most of our traffic comes from there. I would say probably 75%. Mm-hmm. And so our other channels are things like Etsy. Let's see here. No, why am I blanking? We're trying out eBay as a pro account, as a pro seller. That's not going very well. Okay. A lot of bugs and things that we're working through. But what else? We have a bunch of different sales channels. Oh, I know. House.
H-O-U-Z-Z.
We get a few sales from them every week.
Nice.
So all those channels add up and, get us to these numbers, which is cool.
Wow.
All organic traffic. I haven't done any paid marketing lately. So yeah, there we have it. Just got on Etsy beginning of this, just end of November, sometime in November, we started uploading a few mugs. All we have is mugs up there right now. And let's see here, 11. Now the Etsy is also part of this number right here. So mm-hmm. just keep that in mind. But $239 in revenue, and it's just very, it's just autopilot. It's awesome. Their organic traffic is amazing. We're charging about $20 a mug plus shipping. So it's awesome. And people are very, the shoppers on there are just like easy to get along with. They message me and it's easy to work with them. And
they're willing to pay a higher price. Etsy gives you fantastic data on how they got to your store, what they searched for.
Yeah.
And it is a bit more of a hands-on platform in my experience, but I remember, last week I had a seller ask a question about Christmas delivery and she was hesitant about getting a sale, and you just shoot them a quick message, include a little smiley face on there, and then they're selling in the next minute they place the order. But so people like a hands-on touch on that marketplace, but that's okay. I mean, that helps you get better reviews too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have somebody, one of my team members working solely on the Etsy store. So my hands, I check on the account, every other day, but I'm not in there uploading designs or anything like that. So that's really nice to have. Cool. And then, TeePublic is, just brings in 60. It was bringing in a couple $100 or $100 to $200 a month and during the summer, but, for some reason it's gone down. Maybe we're not uploading as much to it anymore. because their commission rates aren't as high. You can't control how much margin is on each product, but it is a very, very simple platform to upload to. And with their my biggest gripe with them was that people could just go right click your design, save as, and upload it to their own account. And if I didn't go out and like actively search for my designs on the internet, I would never find that people are doing this. And I can't believe people are doing this, but pixel for pixel copying is a huge problem. But TeePublic has now come out with a design, what do you call it?
Like a shield prevention. Or an overlay, or
yeah, it's a prevention measure. So like if someone tries to upload your design to their platform, they're automatically, I don't know if it's kicked off, but it's rejected immediately. So there's some prevention measures in place that they're working on right now. But it's, you know, this is just automatic. It seems like I don't really have to do anything for that money, which is nice. So
beautiful, man.
That's good.
Phone bill. That's the water. It's awesome.
That's what we're going for. So now in 2018, I have 5 big goals: add another designer. And the reason for that is because we want to be hitting our 80, uploads per day.
Woo!
We have every system in place except for my new designer. So I just have to find the designer, the right person to fill that slot, and we'll be rocking and rolling, no problem. We'll be able to definitely hit this 80 per day. The add a service for merchers. This is something I'll talk more about in the future, but it's like I'm excited because we're going to create some sort of platform specifically for merchers. And I don't want to say too much right now, but it'll be awesome. It'll help people stay organized with their designs, and the information that's related to their designs. It'll help them upload faster, all kinds of things that are going to be very helpful that we're working on right now. So that's cool. Push shirts from my site to Etsy. So T-Launch is coming out with a new integration feature that pushes all of your products straight from your Shopify store over to Etsy. And so that's the main reason why I've been waiting so long, waiting for them to come up with that feature. But I couldn't wait, so I started just upload mugs, get them up. We're missing out on sales, and December is right around the corner. So we did a mad rush to get as many mugs up as possible, so which has turned out beneficial. But as soon as that integration is up and running, we're going to have a couple thousand products up on Etsy real soon. So that's exciting. And the 10K goal by June 1st is 10,000 designs uploaded to merch specifically. And that'll help us reach our $10,000 a month goal. So I'm really excited about that. And as long as we stay on track and just keep working towards it, we shouldn't have a problem hitting that. So that's me, Spencer. I will, give it up to you, man. Oh, wait. Oh yeah. Here we go. This is you.
Yeah. Appreciate it, man. So I guess first you want to go back to your goals. I think,
oh yeah,
you got some awesome ones here. It's all about being hands-free. Like this year you've really, you mentioned it 2 podcasts ago that you had only uploaded 5 designs to merch. And that to me is incredible. So you've got the foundation, and now it's like just adding designers, man. It's I'm really excited for you. I think there's big things, and you're starting to think, you have been, but you're going to be thinking bigger than merch with not only other PODs, but a service for merchers. Right. In a gold rush, sell shovels. I love
right,
that.
Right. Exactly. I can't wait. It's not even something that I'm just like, I'm gonna make a service just for, just so I can make more money. No, this is something that I'm so excited about because it's something I want. My whole team will be using, and like, even if I didn't sell it to anyone else, I would want this for myself.
Oh, that's perfect.
Maybe I won't even sell it to anyone else. I'll just
myself. Hope I can get a discount.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So, yeah. Do you? I need to exit out of here and let you.
Sure. Yeah, I'll bring it up.
Or can you control it
for a second? Right.
Yeah, 2017 is ending on an awesome note. I'm very happy. You know, even though merch sales aren't as high as I'd like them to be, that's fine because we're just constantly working, and soon we'll be at a point where we want to be financially. But it's a work in progress, and you can only do your best, so we'll get there. But anyway, all right. Turn it over to you. Let's hear it, man.
And you're seeing me. We're good.
I can see you. I hope that our viewers can as well.
I think so. I am recording this time. So
okay.
Sure. I guess we'll start with merch all time, just to summarize where we were and how far we've come this year. I mean, Shannon told me about merch, I think, in December of last year. Got approved in April. And we hit it pretty hard, got lucky with a couple tier ups and shoot. I mean, if this month keeps going, we could barely keep that growth track. And then hopefully we can hit another just spike up to the top. But I guess long story short, it's been great. Merch is a great learning platform. And, when we think about what's been going on with it this month, a lot of people have seen a decline in the last couple days. My shirts, I've been selling a couple more, but they're really low margin cheapo shirts. So I don't really know what's been going on. You can see down here, you know, $2, $1 margin. So throttling is real. And fortunately, I took the advice of some other folks in kind of our Slack group and kicked off an Etsy account about a month ago, too. And just this month, we've seen $350 in sales. So I'm a big believer. I love Shannon, what you're doing with your personal brand. I'm not on Seller Central right now. I might reevaluate that later, but I really want to go hard at Etsy. We only have 20 products up right now, and 10 of them are just kind of like generic copies. So I really want to scale up through Etsy. Redbubble's been kind of kicking off a little bit. TeePublic, $10, we'll take it. I forgot about my Zazzle account and I found that the other day, so put that in the bank. And so far we're almost at 2,000. So I think in total we're gonna finally have that first $2,000 month, and just keep going, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's good.
This will be your first $2,000 profit month?
Yes.
That is freaking awesome, man. Seriously.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that. Cool. We're only going to get there because of the other platforms. I mean, maybe merch will bring us there, but what I'm more excited about is Etsy over here. And then even Redbubble too, because I think I have like 15 products on Redbubble, just some of my very first ones. I can't even imagine what these will be when we scale the push integration with Etsy and just start loading them on different products. The designs are already there. We just need to fill the space.
Very cool.
So I know we got 2 weeks left, but I got three things I want to finish up this year. I've got a good designer who does a little bit more of my template work, but I want to hire a skilled, unique designer to go after some of those trendy phrases and ones I think could hit it big. I've got a couple channels. We got some really good advice from Blake a couple episodes ago on how to go about that. So I want to get someone hired in and trained up this year still. I really want to hire an Etsy Shopify upload expert where someone is making the products in Shopify using T-Launch. I use that as well. And then I'm super excited about this push integration because hopefully they can just be working on the T-Launch side and not have to bounce back and forth between channels. And then I have about 100 in draft right now, and I want to have 500 designs in draft by the end of the year. So we can come out of the gates running hot in 2018.
Yeah.
The only reason I can even think about that number is because I made some changes in my team that's really taken some of that workload off me. So
cool, man.
And then this gets a little cut off here because of my formatting, but four goals for 2018. I want to have 4,000 designs on merch by June. I want them to be live, right? So hopefully we'll only have to put up 6,000 or 7,000 to get to that 4,000 live. With a different mix. Right now, most of mine are templates. So I want to start bringing more unique designs into that mix and have, you know, 1,000 lottery tickets, essentially. Because everyone who's been in merch for long enough knows that just one of your designs can just really take off and contribute the most of it. So I want to put my hat in
the ring. Dilly.
What'd you say?
Dilly dilly.
You got it, man. I want 1,000 products on Etsy by the beginning of March. I think that's totally possible, especially with the new integration with T-Launch. Modest goals, I think, based on where we're at now. I want to be making $5,000 a month in profit after paying my team, et cetera, by June. And if we can hit there, I think we can go a lot further before the end of the year. And the last bullet, if you can't see it, says, I don't upload anything myself. take what you will, but we need to start removing ourselves from the business if we want to grow this thing.
Yeah. Why would you not want to upload anything yourself, though?
Well, number one, I hate uploading. Number two, I don't have the time to upload. Number three, I want to spend the time that I do have on my business thinking about strategy, thinking about what niches we should be in, and contributing the things that actually grow the business instead of just doing the work. And we all don't have enough time to spend on this, and we want to be doing other things. We want to be, you know, I just moved to a different state, and I want to take advantage of all the fun stuff to do out here. So shoot, I want this to run itself. I don't want to run it. That sounds awful.
Love it. I love it. Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. Because you know, if you're looking at the reason why we got into this in the first place, I mean, ask yourself, why did we start this business? We started this business that we could have more money and more freedom. And it's difficult. Let me rephrase. We want to create a business that runs itself so that we can do the things that we want, when we want, with who we want, without having to worry about money. And this might be what we're going to talk now about, why this is a great model to follow instead of opening like a brick and mortar store.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Should we just jump into it?
I want to build on what you said there. So if anyone watches this episode or is even interested in the e-commerce space and says, man, $1,000 a month would change my life, or $5,000 a month would let me quit my job, or I have X amount of money to invest and I want to be an entrepreneur because I want to do things differently with my life, for whatever your goals are, I think it's important to have a little bit of debate on where you should put that money. There's so many different areas you can go into, and it's super easy in this age of information overload to feel like you don't know where to start.
Right.
What we want to do here is take 6 or 7 common models that you know, walk you through what it actually means to be in that business, and then we'll just pick apart some of the pros and cons of each one. And we'd love to hear your feedback if you're successful in one of these and we don't see it as being a huge opportunity. I think when we break these down, we're not saying that you can't be successful. We're just trying to offer some criticism and context so you can make your own decision about what's right for you.
Absolutely.
So let's get into it. I want to get into this by saying retail is dead. So this is kind of the format. We broke it down into, we're going to walk through a couple different kinds, talk a little bit about the investment that you're going to need for it. Is it location independent and or passive? How much time can you expect before you're making your first profit? What kind of expenses are you looking at? What are your risks? And overall, what do we think? So Shannon, I just want to kind of walk through and we can shoot the you know what about this and just bring some of our different experiences. What do you think about someone who wants to start a brick and mortar business right now? Do you think, you know, that's a tough space to be in? Would you do it? Why or why not?
Right. So it seems like if you're a person that wants to start a business and you're just like, I'll just start anything. When you're looking at, let's say, okay. Well, I would definitely not start a brick and mortar business today because of the upfront investment and the risks that you are taking on from the very beginning. I have some experience with this because I started a video production company a few years ago, and with not only trying to run things myself, I had 3 employees. You know, we did well. We did a lot of filming, a lot of editing, but you're not making money unless you're filming or editing. The nice thing, let's see here. When looking back, was it something I would do again? It, you know, it taught me a lot, but I don't think I would start a video production company again, even though, you know, I learned a lot and all this, but it's so hard and time consuming. It's just very difficult to do in this day and age. So, personally, I'd stay away from brick and mortar. With the opportunities that the internet brings to us, there's so much more, there's so many different ways to make money online that I think that's the only way to go for someone in 2017.
Yeah, I agree with you. When you think about the state of retail right now, you've got big box stores in trouble. You've got retailers like Walmart and Target scrambling to ramp up their e-commerce operations. Malls across America are closing. You've got your risks. I mean, you're basically depending on the foot traffic in the area. I think the important thing about brick and mortar, you know, the stores that are successful have they either have a killer location, which you're going to pay for.
Yeah. What do you call it? Buku bucks.
Yeah. You got to have buku bucks to play. I think the thing here is if you're going to go in on a brick and mortar, you've got to have a brand. That's why franchises are so successful. They've got the formula and they've got the brand. Unless you're like, you can't keep up with the demand and you're shipping things out of your house and you just need a place, then go for it. But I mean, even in the restaurant space, get a food truck and try it. See if you like it. Pass your first inspection. If you're selling physical products, go to a market and test it and see if you like dealing with all the things that come up. I just don't think you get a lot of return on investment in a physical space. When you think about, like, if you're selling widgets, do you want your market to be the 2-mile radius around your store, or do you want it to be the entire world that's connected to the internet? It's really a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's a way that you can bridge the two, but maybe we want to talk about that later.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, so the next one, this one's kind of interesting. So this is another option we see a lot of folks take, which is the salaried career. so you're going to school. Typically, you're getting some kind of degree. Doesn't have to be 4 years. You don't even have to get a degree. There's a lot of people who are successful without one. And then you work, and you're in the civilian space or you're in the military. your investment in this option is your entire adolescent career, going to school, learning, right? You're probably going to do a 4 years of a degree if you're in some kind of white collar job. And let's just say you're going to have about $60,000 of investment in today's dollars, not to mention cost of living, not to mention that interest is typically around a 7 or 8% in my personal experience. Location independent or passive? No, it's you. And I guess your time to first profit would be when you pay off those student loans. I know it took me a while to work on that and to turn the corner there. And it takes a lot of people a long time. So you pay a lot for what you get with a college degree these days, in my opinion.
Right. And just to be clear, we're not hating on anybody that has a career or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We're just saying there's benefits to having an online business, and there's reasons why we think that the online business model or method is the best way to go, I guess. That's a
good point. I'm not trying to knock anyone with a salary as being a corporate shill, right? I'm working on my career, and I work for a Fortune 500 company, and I do all of the buzzwords and things that come along with having that type of path. So definitely not knocking it. I think in our overall summary, it's a good place to start. It's what most people do. You can have a long and fulfilling career. There's many, many people who do. I think one of the downsides is that time can really slip away from you. When I recently came across 5 years, my 5-year anniversary at my job, I thought back and it was really shocking to me how quickly that time had gone by and how relatively little I thought I had to show for it. So I think it's kind of more of a low risk option and lower reward over time versus some of the other things you can be investing your time in.
Absolutely. What would you say about, or go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Would you say if you want to start an online business, should you just quit your and you have a salaried career right now, should you just quit your online or your career and just jump full bore right into the online business? Or should you do kind of like a hybrid model where you're doing both at the same time?
I think that's a really good question. It starts out with what your goals are, really. My goals are kind of a blend of a lot of things. They're financial, they're location and freedom based, and they're learning and experience based too. So I'm trying to always stay at the intersection of some of those things. Right now I'm in this spot where you guys know how much I'm making from my online business, but it's not enough to support my lifestyle right now. I think what I would recommend to people is if you're in a salaried career and you can build something like this on the side, you have to ask yourself what you're going to get in return if you leave your job. So if you really feel like you're constrained and your business growth is hampered by not having the time to work on it, then if you've got enough of a safety net to support yourself, go for it. But I think you have to have a serious conversation with yourself that says, am I just busting my butt and putting in a ton of time after work? And am I really working hard for this, or am I looking for an excuse to quit my job? Because that's something that I struggle with. Obviously I would love to be the quote unquote digital nomad, but I always fight with the realist in myself that says, look, you can do both of these. And when it gets to a point where you can support yourself on one and you have confidence, then I think everyone does have to take that step. But I absolutely don't advocate it until you're consistently proving results, because you can't pay the bills with potential.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. I think it's really important to have that safety net and ability to fall back on your career if something doesn't work out in the online world, because the online world is constantly changing and there's a lot of competition, and it's not always the easiest it takes a lot of people years to make money online. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. So it's super important to have that safety net in place, just in case something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Okay, we're talking about a couple different e-commerce ones now. I guess, Shan, do you have any experience with FBA? You haven't done a product, have you?
No, I have not done any FBA yet. I mean, I have my Amazon Seller Central store, and I have, many products on there, but we fulfill everything ourselves because it's integrated straight over to, it's an automatic integration with T-Launch. So everything just works, and it's very hands-off, just like FBA is. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to buy any inventory up front. We don't have to have any warehouse expenses that Amazon doesn't, you know, Amazon isn't charging us extra for warehouse expenses, mm-hmm. which is nice. But that being said, FBA can be an extremely lucrative business. And you can make a ton of money on FBA for sure, as you probably have heard or seen from other podcasts and different people talking about it that are actually in that business. What do you think, Spencer? Is FBA something that people should get into?
Well, when we think about FBA and separate it from drop shipping, how I think about it is you're buying a product from a country where it's cheaper to manufacture. You private label it typically. You buy it in bulk. You have it shipped to an Amazon warehouse, and then you wait for it to sell. That's my understanding of it. So
right.
I think it's a really – so I work in supply chain professionally, and I think it's a really, really great way for people to learn and to make a business investment where they get something out of it. You know, you have to do everything from product selection, where you're thinking about things that are typically lightweight, non-electronic, things you can have a high margin on. Think kitchen utensils. Think phone accessories, etc. But I think it's a really good place for people to learn about what really goes into sourcing a product, having it manufactured. You know, who bears the inventory cost? How do you manage dealing with all these other parties? And it's a really good place to understand how online business actually works from a dollars and cents perspective. So I really would recommend it to anyone who's got like $5,000, $10,000 that they want to invest in a business. But there are really big risks with FBA in that you're taking a lot of risk on inventory, and if it doesn't sell, you could get stuck with $10,000 worth of spatulas, right? And that sucks. So
yeah.
If you're sourcing from China, your IP just is not going to be protected. You can't assume that. I think there's a good example I heard a little while ago. I think it's called TRX. They basically have a band that you work out with that you just put on the top of a door frame.
Yep.
They had a really interesting story about they patented their intellectual property and they protected it in the US, but they had, I think, 5 or 6 factories in China just cranking them out and eating up all their sales channels. It was like the biggest challenge that they ever had. So
wow.
I think in the long term, even if you do have a killer product, the competition will eat your margins at the very least. And not to mention Amazon is the gatekeeper, and they can cut in your margin whenever they want, or they can ban your account. You've got to manage shipping. You've got to manage customer service. So great place to learn, in my opinion. I would like to try it once I get into a better place with some of the other businesses we have going on. But I don't think it's going to be a long-term option for most people, but a good experiment, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I think it's something that I'll definitely be involved with in the future as well. The thing with the margins, I feel like this is why we advocate branding your business and making sure you have a brand that people know. When people know you, like you, and trust you and your products, then margins are less you don't have to worry as much about margins because people want your products because you put out a good product. Mm-hmm. And even when it's copycatted, because it probably will be, you can still demand a higher price.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will be willing, because you've already proven to them that you care, that you have a good product, they'll be willing to pay for you for your future products. And that's how you have a successful business, I think.
That's a great point. Just look at Apple and them selling $70 laptop chargers.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a brand.
Yeah. I mean, there's a Google Pixel 2 is like $600. Apple iPhone 10 is $1,100.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason they can do that is because of brand. And yeah, that's it. Brand it. All right, what's next?
Software as a service.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So when we think about software as a service, you are finding a need for a software. It doesn't matter if you are, oh gosh, you're building an app, you're building a merch design business, you're building a pretty merch application, but you're finding a need, you're finding a team, they're making the product, which is digital. You have to market it and find customers, and then eventually you find a way to monetize it. So some of these numbers are just kind of estimates for me. I haven't done this before. Shannon, have you, you've managed a software team before?
Yeah. I mean, currently I have a software team, like a team that we build websites. It's very basic, but just build websites for other businesses. But I have created a couple of software platforms in the past that have completely failed. or I should say that I learned a lot from them. the reward wasn't financial. That's for sure. But and that's one thing that's a risk you have to take. And it was before I really understood a lot of things about software and exactly how to market it and stuff like that. It was one platform we built was a video production platform that connected realtors with videographers. Because realtors want videos of their houses, but it's hard for them to find videographers other than their nephew or their cousin, you know. Mm-hmm. But so this platform would connect them. It was awesome. I did get it, you know, we did get a few sales, but it just didn't take off fast enough and I had to shut it down. But at the same time, if you can find a problem, and you can make a software platform that takes off, that does really well. And it's what we're actually going through right now with merch. We're going to build this platform. This, you saw it in my goals, you know, this next year, we're in the progress of building this platform that's going to help merchers out, because we know that there are issues or there's ways that we can make things easier and faster for merch business owners. And when you can find a problem like that and build software around it, it can become very powerful. And you can have, a million, you know, or let's just say you have thousands of people on that same platform. You don't have to rebuild something different for every single person, because that software is built for all those people. So it's an exciting thing to be in. That's for sure. Of all my stuff, I've always loved the process of creating software. Now I just need to make one that like a platform that actually works, but it's extremely powerful when you get it right.
I think this is one of the highest opportunity areas people can get into.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I recommend, kind of in the overall section, indiehackers.com, really nice online community of people who are in the software space. And people can take really simple problems and just make a killing addressing the need. And it's satisfying when people buy your software. It's really cool, because if you're doing FBA and you're just changing a product and you're adding a feature, that's fine. But if you build software from the ground up, that can be pretty satisfying, and people hit it really, really big in software. I think just look at Neil Lassen from Merchant.
Perfect example. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Killing it. I mean, I'm on his, I pay for his service to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should have an affiliate link up.
Right, I bought I bought the Yong subscription.
Did you? Nice. That's smart. Oh, I got on before when it was still in beta. So,
oh, nice.
Got a little discount there, but Indie Hackers is also a podcast, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I love them. I was just looking on my phone because, I listen to that podcast all the time and, really enjoy it. So
I think if you recommend something to someone in this space, my thought was that you would start with a Shopify or WordPress plugin or a Chrome extension, something really simple, or relatively simple. So that you can see if it's for you, and then go from there. I wouldn't try to reinvent everything from scratch your first time.
Right. And I think even prior to that, though, find a problem that you would want solved yourself, or like find a problem that will scratch your own itch, if you will. Because if you're having the problem, then there's other people out there that'll have the problem, and you can, you know, make your software work for all those people. And there's so much that we could go into about software itself. Obviously there's huge podcasts that specifically only talk about just software, but I do think that it's a very, very good business to get into, and it's definitely one that I am looking into in the next few months.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Here's what we got. Print on demand. So you guys know about this. You're finding what designs you want to do. You're designing them. You load them up on products and channels, and you sit back and you relax. So I don't know. We could pump print on demand all day, but I guess I want to have more of a conversation about what the risks are and what the downsides are, because I think people probably understand from what we talk about quite a bit the upside. And I don't want to seem like we're giving this any preference over others. I want to give it a clear-eyed look, but the investment on this is extremely low. It doesn't cost you anything. You can download GIMP free software. You can watch YouTube to learn how to make a design, and you can throw it up on, Zazzle, TeePublic, Redbubble, etc. for free. Etsy charges you 20 cents a listing. Shopify is under 10 bucks a month. It's extremely low barrier to entry to get started.
Absolutely. And what's nice is you know, like you're saying, you make one design and you can put it on 10, 15 different platforms if you really want to. You know, some require a little more work than others, but for the most part, it's all just, like you're saying, sit back and relax after you've gotten them uploaded, which is why there's probably so many people in this that are getting into this type of business right now. They see, like, okay, if I can, with such an efficient business model, there's going to obviously be a lot of people that want to be in that sector, but that's just part of the game. So you just got to do quality designs and keep on rocking and rolling. I mean,
yeah, it's something that you can scale really well. It really depends on the limiting factor in print on demand. If you want an extra $100, I'll pitch this like a sales pitch. If you want $100 a month, then download GIMP today and download and make 10 designs and throw them up there on every platform, right? You can make $100 a month if you want to do that. If you want to make $1,000 a month, then maybe you start hiring a designer and maybe pay for merch informer and you work on it for a couple months. If you want to grow it beyond that, you hire people who upload, you hire people who do keyword research, and you hire designers. And to get beyond that $1,000 a month mark, your limiting factor is your team. I really believe that.
Yeah, I agree. And it's beautiful because, you know, if you can get your business to making $1,000 a month, if you've had your account for, you know, Elaine Heaney just talked about it in her recent podcast, Merch Entrepreneur is her podcast, but she talks about how, or she interviews somebody that talks about how if you have your account for 12 months, selling $1,000 for the last few months, you can easily sell it for $30,000 to $40,000 in about a week or less.
That was a great episode. And he talks about, you know, there's a process to sell your merch account. People are snapping them up. He even mentioned that there's a trend going on where people are buying accounts and then just taking the existing designs and scaling them across platforms.
Yeah.
So
it's beautiful.
Yeah. Elaine Heaney, she's got a fantastic podcast. That was a really good one. So even if you're looking to get onto, you know, if you're a person who builds affiliate sites and then sells them, or if you're a person who grows an online investment and flips it, Merch by Amazon accounts can be that same type of thing for you too.
Absolutely. Yep. This is by far the most fun business I've ever been a part of, I think. It really is. I mean, it's so much fun because we create awesome designs that are really cool that people love, you know, people want, you know, we can put them on all these different products. Most of it is hands off, you know, especially once you have a team in place. And you just see, you know, you just look at your numbers every month and you're just amazed at how things grow and grow and grow. And next thing you know, a year from now, when we're, you know, looking back on 2018, we're going to be like, wow, look at how big our businesses have grown over the last year. Mm-hmm. And, that's going to be a really interesting conversation. I'm really looking forward to having that conversation with you.
I'm looking forward to taking a screenshot of our goals and then putting it on hoodies, mugs, shirts, and then we can wear those in a year.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
All right. Last one I want to talk to you guys about is you can be a cryptocurrency speculator. Did your dad tell you to buy Bitcoin? Did your colleague tell you that, no, it's not all about Bitcoin, you got to buy Litecoin? I'm here today to tell you that if you're going to be a crypto speculator, there's only one coin to buy. It's Monero, only private coin in the industry, and you want to hold it for at least 5 years. But I guess in all seriousness, I was in this space for a little while. I got pretty caught up in it, and it distracted me from my other business. I included this slide in here to demonstrate the point that there's a lot of things that can distract you from your goals and things you can control. This space is really interesting, but it's also completely outside of anything you can affect or control. So people are making money in here left and right. Everyone, you know, the real money in crypto, I think, is being made by the people who are monetizing affiliate sites, the people who run exchanges, the tax man, and people who are doing ICOs. So my recommendation here is that you focus on things that you can actually control and affect. And I recently kind of got out of this space because I didn't like how much mental space it was taking up, and I didn't like not having any control. It's fun on the roller coaster when you're going up. But I can't imagine it's fun on the way down. So that's just a closing thought on business models for me. Anything to say about this one?
You know, I haven't invested any money into crypto, and I probably won't for many years, if at all. And that's because, like you're saying, you can't control how it goes. You can't control how it operates. And I know a lot of people are making money on it, and that's great. And I'm happy for them. And I'm happy for you that you've made, you know, you've done all right too. But in terms of like a long-term investment, I'd rather put that into something that I build, something that, like my merch account, just grow that, use the money and just grow that, or a software business or FBA or something that, I can have more control over. You know, we don't know how the government is even going to handle these cryptocurrencies in the near future. We don't know if they're going to come in and say, all right, that's enough is enough. We don't know. Like,
right.
That's a huge deal. I mean, yeah. Everyone's trading crypto. The government is not going to like that. You know, we know that they want their money more than anything. So, it's a very risky thing to be involved
with. Super bullish on it. I think it's amazing disruptive technology. I'm not spreading, you know, there's a term in the community called FUD where people say fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And it's like, there's a lot of people who try to bring things down with that. I'm certainly not trying to spread that, but you're right, Shan. There's a lot of risks. I mean, there's technical risk. I think I don't fully understand it. I think anyone who claims to fully understand it is probably lying. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of interest in there, not for the use of cryptocurrencies, but for, hey, here's this new thing my buddy at work told me about, and if you put in a dollar, you get out too. And that feels a little weird to me. So I am in it for the long term. I love what some of these things are doing. I love that businesses like Western Union and PayPal and Visa who have for our entire lives charged us 3-4% fees to use yeah. their service are getting disrupted. But it's a wild roller coaster. So only get on if you've got a tight seatbelt. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the disruption as well. I think that I love disruption. I just love it. Ah, oh, it's great. But like you're saying, I think if you have, if you're going to get into crypto, do it with the mindset that whatever, if I have $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever, and I'm putting it into crypto, just pretend like you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
And then you can't be disappointed.
That's right. It's like exactly the same as if you're going to the casino. It's like, okay, I've got $100 with me and yep. everything else is in the car.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to, we'll kind of wrap up in a minute or two, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what 2018 has for us. This is going to be a massive year and I can't wait to see who we engage with on this podcast too.
Absolutely. I'm excited for, we have some, we're going to have some awesome guests on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We are going to have a huge year. 2018 is going to be enormous for us, I know, in our businesses. And it's going to be exciting. It's just going to be fun. Like, this is just so much fun.
For anyone who's made it this far, we've got more guests. We've got more structure. We're going to have income reports in the future. We're going to have a lot of awesome goodies, and we are going to bring you guys along for the ride with us. So stay with us, and you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. So we appreciate you guys listening, and thanks again, Shannon. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Spencer.
All right, I'm going to play us out.
This, I love it. Can't hear anything.
Thanks for listening to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast.
I love it.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us an honest review wherever you find your content. As always, you can find us online at merchlifestyle.com.